Thank you, Dr. Liu. That was certainly a fascinating presentation, and I look forward to hopefully hearing about your work with the general population. Our next speaker is Elizabeth Frenette. Elizabeth is also from Boston. She's over at Tufts Medical School, and she's going to be speaking about computer attention training in schools for children with ADHD.
Hello. My name is Elizabeth Frenette, and again, I'm working on a project titled Computer Attention Training in Schools for Children with ADHD. We're in association with the Newton and Boston Public Schools, and we work primarily in the elementary school setting. And we're fully funded by the Institute of Educational Sciences. So I have no relevant financial relationships to disclose or conflicts of interest to resolve. So we are conducting a randomized controlled trial comparing two computer attention training systems. The first here is this neurofeedback, and it's also known as EEG biofeedback. And the second is the standard computer format, also called cognitive training. So we're working with children with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, also known as ADHD. Okay, so these are the two main kinds of computer attention training systems, the neurofeedback and the standard computer format. So the reasons we are looking at these two computer attention training programs as a treatment for children with ADHD are based on these underlying principles. First, it's specialized software that reinforces desirable behavior via auditory and visual feedback. Some advantages for using these computer attention training systems are, one, computers appeal to children. They think they're neat, novel, and don't ordinarily get to use them in school all the time. They're both high frequency and immediate feedback, and the reinforcement is very well defined. So there's ongoing engagement and individualized progress. And finally, there's emerging evidence for sustained effect even after the conclusion of the intervention, which is unlike medication, the most frequently used treatment for children with ADHD, where once they have the pill and it's, 7 hours later, they're back to their normal behaviors. So these points are especially important for children with ADHD who have significant difficulties both initiating and sustaining focus. So a little more detail on the neurofeedback. So studies have shown that children with ADHD have altered EEG patterns. So they look at children's brains and can see that they have altered brain waves. So they have increased theta waves, which are present and more predominant when you're drowsy or sleepy or kind of off in dreamland, and have decreased beta waves, which are more prevalent in actively learning, engaged, concentrating brains like I hope you all have right now. The EEG sensors detecting the child's brain waves are embedded in a standard computer bicycle helmet, as you can see here. There's one right here, and then the two grounding ones are in the back. The children have ongoing feedback. It goes on the theory that children can learn to increase and induce their beta waves and decrease their theta waves. You can train the brain through practice. Children learn how to initiate and sustain focus through this feedback mechanism. So this is a screenshot of the menu for the neurofeedback. Oh, yay. And so from here, the child selects from various modules. So first is this attention stamina module, then visual tracking, time on task, short-term memory, discriminatory processing, and academic bridge. The academic bridge is a special part of our intervention where children apply what they've learned using the other modules and actually apply it to their schoolwork. So they do 5 minutes of schoolwork while this module is going on. So say you were to click on attention stamina, that would bring you to this screenshot. So as the child focuses and beta brain waves are predominant, the bar is fully red. And the orca whale swims down to the bottom of the ocean, collecting coins from a treasure chest and swimming along at the bottom. As the child loses focus or thinks about his or her birthday party next week, the orca whale starts to swim towards the surface of the ocean, and the child knows, okay, refocus, I have to refocus, and then he or she brings it back down to the bottom of the ocean. And so as they refocus, they increase the beta waves and decrease the theta waves. So they basically get a feel of what it is like to be focused and when they're not focused. So there's also auditory feedback in that when the treasure chest opens, there's a creaking noise, and as the child is swimming along, or the orca whale swimming along, there are ocean noises in the background. So here's the standard computer format, also called the cognitive training. So in this program, there are no sensors embedded. They're interactive computer exercises, and these computer exercises train attention, listening skills, and working memory. And here, there's a special emphasis on working memory. Past studies have shown that children with ADHD have deficits in working memory skills. So children progress to slightly higher levels very frequently in this computer attention training module. So then this is the standard computer format menu screen. And here you can see how the child can select different modules: attention, skills, developmental, working memory. And then if you are to click on the start program, you will see this. So this is an example of a working memory module, where here you have to, the object of this module is to match the letter pairs to unlock the safe and receive a prize. So, which again is the desired outcome for the child. So for example, if P were matched with J, you would first click on J and you can get the point here. So now for our study design. We recruit and enroll children in the spring and over the summertime. Once school starts in the fall, we randomize the children into three conditions, stratified based on gender and medication status, like ADHD medication. Next, we complete the assessment phase, including parent, teacher, and child questionnaires, which is right here, and assessments. Next, the students randomize into the standard computer format, or the neurofeedback, also called EEG in this screen, receive a 40-session intervention, which consists of 3 sessions per week for 45 minutes per session for a total of about 5 months. Next, we conduct the exact same assessments as at assessment point 1 with the parent, teacher, and child assessments and questionnaires. Then the following school year, we conduct a 6-month follow-up to assess the sustained effect, if an effect is found. We repeat this whole process for the Wave 2 enrollees. In Wave 1, we enrolled 43 students, and then an additional 62 the following year. So just as a clarification, once students receive the intervention, they're finished, they don't receive it again the following year. Currently, we're at this point conducting assessments 3 and 5. The students waitlisted from Wave 1 right here are randomized with Wave 2 students to receive the intervention just a year delayed so that they don't miss out on the intervention. This is in 19 public elementary schools. It's translational research. We're at the schools 3 days a week. And this isn't in a lab setting. They don't come into Tufts or anything like that. So for the purpose of today, I'd like to explain the results from Wave 1 and the change in assessments between 1 and 2. So first, the participant demographics. We're in 4 Boston public schools, which is an urban setting, which is about 26% of our students. And then we're in 15 Newton public schools, which is suburban, about 74% of our students. The reason why we're in Newton and Boston is we wanted to include an urban population. Newton public schools was more convenient. It's where we conducted our pilot study, so that's why we're there. So it's mostly males, mostly Caucasian, mostly higher income, and grades 2nd through 6th. So some of our outcome measures. So we have a full battery of 12 outcome measures. However, we ran the preliminary analysis only on these three outcome measures first. So first is the math test, which is called the PERMS. It's a student math test both for speed and accuracy. So accuracy is the number of correct problems, and speed, the number of problems actually completed in the 10-minute assessment. So this is important because for children with ADHD, we often see deficits in both accuracy and speed in completing math and other school subjects. So then for the T-SCAMP, now this is a teacher ADHD symptom questionnaire that the teacher completes about the student. And finally, the BOSS. This is an objective classroom observation. It's a huge investment of our time and funding. As research assistants are trained to conduct these observations, they're blind to the participants' randomization condition, so they don't know if their neurofeedback, standard computer format, or waitlisted. And then the students are blind to our RAs coming into their classroom setting and observing them. So they don't know they're being observed. So here's our preliminary analysis. Again, this is for T1, the change in assessment 1 to assessment 2 in a sample size of 43 students. So first, our neurofeedback. We found a significant improvement on the math, the PERMP, of P of 0.03. We found a significant decrease in ADHD symptoms as shown by the teacher ADHD questionnaire. And the BOSS showed a trend in reduction of ADHD symptoms in the classroom setting. Again, that's that blind assessment. Then for the standard computer format, which is the one without the helmet, we found significant improvements on the math test, P of 0.01. We found a trend towards decreased ADHD symptoms on the teacher attention questionnaire. And then the BOSS, which is that observation, the RAs conduct the observations in the classroom, it showed a trend in reduction of ADHD symptoms in the classroom setting. Then the waitlist control showed no significant trends or changes found at all, which in either direction, which is a really important finding for us. So some conclusions that we can draw from our preliminary data suggest that computer-based attention training programs offered in an elementary school setting may be effective in reducing symptoms of ADHD. And then some future directions. So we'd like to compare urban versus suburban schools and see if there's a difference there. We want to see if we could find differences based on age, gender, medication status. We'd like to expand to a school district-wide intervention. We've been talking with the superintendent of schools for both Boston and Newton Public Schools, so we're thinking about that in the future if we do find really positive effects and results from our more robust analyses, which we'll conduct in the future. And obviously, most importantly, is there a difference between standard computer format and neurofeedback? And thanks. Questions? Contact me.